Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. We started this podcast because we believe that it isn't necessarily the rich, powerful, or well-known who are making the waves in this world. It's the moms. It's the women tending to their toddlers while launching international nonprofits or caring for babies and creating art. It's the women who believe in both their mother self and their other self, and who are nourishing both as those around them stand back in admiration for the way they stride through life. We know this to be true. It's the hand that rocks the cradle that rules the world. Join the Mama Bear community, where we support and encourage women doing big and bold things with their lives, in addition to being great moms, and dare you to harness the power of your Mama Bear to live a life of love and compassion. Mama Bears, we've been getting such great reviews and great support on our various social media outlets, and we are so thankful for that. I'm going to read one today that came from AKJ54. We're so thankful, Mama Bear. These two women and their guests are a joy to listen to. I often find myself smiling and chuckling when they break out in laughter. Tessie, we do laugh a lot. Their conversations and topics cater not only to moms, but women and men who struggle with being their best selves in life. This is a must-listen to anyone wanting to learn about how to be an inspiring advocate in their daily lives, but also looking for encouragement to keep on keeping on. So thank you so much for that.
That's so great.
So this support that we're getting on iTunes and on Facebook and all of those places has been really encouraging and really humbling. Yeah. A few sweet Mama Bear members of our community messaged us, and Tessie, this is crazy, but we've gotten a few messages wondering if there's a way for people to donate to the podcast. Yeah. And I guess they've heard maybe that we had some audio issues and they wanted to give money towards upgraded equipment. But anyway, we're so humbled by this offer, and we just wanted to let everyone know, even though it feels so weird asking this or saying this, but if you feel inclined, and again, we're certainly not pressuring you or strong-arming you in any way, but we do have a donate button now on our website, and so anything that our Mama Bears feel like giving will just go towards making the podcast the best that it can be.
Yeah.
And I feel weird saying that.
No, I was just going to say, I can feel your awkward energy from here. So, you know, I think it's just important. I was thinking about this ask because neither of us really love asking for things, but it comes down to, we believe strongly in this podcast because you and I get to see the texts, we get to receive the messages and the emails talking about, I had a terrible day and then I turned on your podcast and I'm feeling like I can take on life. Like, we get access to these moments where women and men, frankly, we've heard from as well, have been feeling down, and this podcast does something really remarkable. And so to me, it's more just supporting that. It's supporting our ability to reach more people who maybe need this kind of encouragement. So it's not a support of Leslie and me necessarily. This will not go to like line our pockets. It really will just go to our ability to reach more Mama Bears. So trust us on that.
Yeah. Thanks so much, everybody.
Yeah. So that is crazy kind. So today, getting to the podcast, you will hear from Sarah Wanger, a smart, funny, kind Mama Bear who also happens to be a model.
Yes, this conversation with Sarah was fantastic. We talked a lot about the female body and how it changes over time, and really just the difficulties and sometimes of being a woman, all the beautiful things about being a woman, but also the challenges that we face physically, from, you know, just the act of childbirth to, I love the part of the conversation when we were talking about our plans for aging gracefully.
Yeah, can I say that I love that Blythe Danner is your spirit animal when it comes to aging gracefully?
Well, of course. I mean, she's so classy and beautiful. We have kind of the same coloring, I'd say, so I feel like I'm not reaching too far. Yeah, I've been thinking about that, and I feel like I have a good 20 years or so to develop, and I probably have much work to do, but Blythe Danner, I'm looking at you.
Oh, that's so great. My favorite part of the conversation, or I should say one of many, was when Sarah was talking about how her body image has evolved. Originally, it was actually really hard to be a Black woman in a white family and in a white community. I wish I would have dug a little deeper there, because I think in some way we all feel a little self-conscious at certain parts of our lives. But obviously that goes, you know, her experience goes above and beyond what we have experienced. So maybe we can have her back on to go over more questions that I had when I listened back to the interview.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to talk with Sarah more about that. She just is so willing to talk about herself and has how her body is such a big part of who she is. And I think part of that, it was really interesting to just see her appreciate her body as this kind of vessel for really amazing things. So she talks about how she, you know, played sports and actually was so good at soccer and basketball that she played high school sports and then went on to college to play sport. She used her body in a really practical way. And then she talks about how, as a model, she promotes art, really, by using her body, about how the designers she wears, are, she's really showcasing their work. Of course, pregnancy, and then just the act of our physical being and how it takes us places in the world. She traveled to New York to pursue her college and her adventure and dreams, and then she traveled back to Colorado. And it was great to hear from that. I don't think I often stop and think about how powerful our bodies are. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes like when I'm running or something, I might think about it and just kind of thank God just for giving me legs and for giving me the body that I have. But it's such a really a beautiful and powerful thing. And I love how she's just so comfortable talking about that and recognizing that.
I know. I also was struck by, you know, I mentioned and gave the example of how I've always had a very athletic body, even before puberty. So it sometimes felt like I was an outcast when my friends were all kind of thinner or whatever, just not shapely. Mm-hmm. But then I joined athletics and was like, oh, other people have this body and can use this body for a reason. And she said the same thing about modeling, how before she felt very odd and disconnected with kind of her 6-foot frame. Mm-hmm. And then she joined the modeling world and everybody's at least 6 feet tall. And so it felt really good. And she felt like she had joined a community then. And it reminded me to encourage my kids to kind of find their people too. I think sometimes when we feel lonely, we forget that our people are out there and everywhere, right? How it's going to be different for each of my kids because each of my kids is different. So maybe it's not sports. It might be drama club or a writer's group, but how important it is to find those people who are like you and just hang on to those kind of relationships.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I definitely struggled in a totally different way than you did, Tessie. I didn't have the athletic physique, and I just thinking back to like myself in high school and I'm so thankful, I guess, for the long-legged ladies that all stood in the back row of show choir because with me Because we were tall and hadn't quite grown into the grace of our bodies, you know. But just there in the back row, we found each other, mm-hmm. and were able to have a great time. And the idea of community is so important, and how we want that for ourselves and how we want that for our kids. We talk in co-working a lot here at the co-working space about how we're better when we're together. And I think that that's really true. You come out of that kind of isolation and you join the circle of people who actually might be really different from you, mm-hmm. in some ways, mm-hmm. but are really similar in others. Yeah. And those connections, just that's the heartbeat of the day, I think.
You're so right. So Mama Bears, we know just how hard it can be to be a woman in our culture. Trust. The expectations on our physical bodies, the objectification, and the pressures of aging in a culture that often does not value aging, specifically mm-hmm. on women, which is why we want to hear from you, Mama Bears. What is it like being a woman for you? We're going to do a Mama Bear mini on this subject and want to include some of your thoughts. So find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on our email from our website and tell us your story. We will, if you tell us to keep it personal or keep you anonymous, we will absolutely do that. But we want to hear from you because we know each story is specific and we think that you have something to tell us and something to teach us. So we want to hear from you, Mama Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. We are all in this together. No mm-hmm. matter what we look like, no matter what shape we take, we are all Mama Bears together. So let's drop in on our conversation with Sarah.
Hello, welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast with your hosts, Tessie and Leslie. Today we have our friend Sarah, our new friend Sarah. I actually met Sarah through one of our first guests, Jody Landers, and we've never actually met in person, Leslie, but it's one of those where I'm going to call it stalk. You stalk someone long enough online to where you feel like we're best friends.
Yeah, for sure. Let's call it what it is, really.
Yes. So I've just enjoyed meeting and getting to know Sarah. It's been many years now, and watch her get married, have more babies.
More babies.
More and more and more babies. But really just, she actually writes for the Colorado Springs Moms blog, so it's fun to hear kind of her voice through that as well.
Yeah, and I will admit that I might have done a little online stalking also.
Oh, you did? Good.
And I was so excited to see on Sarah's Facebook page her connection to the mom's blog. Because we have a great mom's blog here. And it looks like you guys have a great community there, too, in Colorado. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes, I did not know we had that connection. That's amazing.
When Leslie and I were starting this podcast, we knew one of the topics we would want to address at some point, or multiple points really, is just kind of, you know, being a woman in this world. And oftentimes what that means is like being a woman's body, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when we were talking about that, the first person that came to mind was you, because, well, one, you are very smart and funny and an awesome athlete, obviously, but also just stunning. And part of the space that you occupy in the world is as a model. So that was why we thought of you first when we were wanting to kind of talk about this topic on the Mama Bear Dares podcast. So welcome officially to the podcast.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so glad you're here, Sarah. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your afternoon. Of course. I know nap time is precious gold time. So thanks for sharing that with us today.
Of course. It is precious time. But yeah, I have some support here. So we're all good to go. So I'm happy to talk to you guys.
Great.
Oh, thank you. So just diving in, like, tell us about
the moment you decided to become a model? How does that look?
Well, you know, it was never a plan of mine. My plan was to go to college and to get a degree and, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, figure out what I really wanted to do with life. But, you know, somewhere in there when I was in college, it became evident that I was kind of unique in my look, mm-hmm. and people started noticing that when I really hadn't noticed that in the way they had, I should say, until I was in college. And so I went to college in New York, and a very diverse place, a very fashion forward place. And so I was only maybe 30 minutes outside of New York City. And so it was very easy to kind of get into that crowd and in that that group of people, that was their life. So it actually happened at a WNBA game, of all places.
Really?
It's like the most exciting place to be, actually. It's just awesome. So we were there, like my basketball team. I was playing on basketball team in college, and our coach brought us to this game kind of as a little treat. And we were watching the game, and after the game ended, we're all kind of filing out. These two men came up to me, and they looked pretty professional, so I wasn't like weirded out by them, but they were like, "So you have a very unique look. You know, you have an athletic build. We have a sports line, a women's sports line that we think you'd be great to model for." And I was like, "Well, okay." Mm. You know, I never really thought of doing that, but you know, a college student, any way to make a buck.
Yeah.
I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll try it." So, you know, we exchanged information, and a little, you know, while longer, it was, you know, pretty easy to get started just from that point. So I started modeling for them. It was mainly athletic wear, and which was perfect mm-hmm. for me because I was all about sports. And, you know, I was playing, like I said, on the basketball team. I was also on the soccer team there. And so my days were spent working out and doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the build that I had, it wasn't necessarily on purpose, you know, for modeling mm-hmm. Purpose, but it just worked out for me. And so I started modeling for their clothing line, and that's kind of where I got my start. And I stayed in school, and it was just really a side thing for me, where I could just make a little extra money.
So what were you studying, Sarah, in college?
I was, I started out in communications, and it's a very broad degree. So I knew that I needed to focus on something specific in that. But I knew I wanted to do something in the media field. Okay. So I didn't know what that really looked like, or that was like radio or TV or, you know, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I just knew I wanted to be in that field. And so that's what I stuck with throughout the 4 years there.
Okay. And you had graduated from high school in Colorado, right?
Yes, okay. Colorado Springs, yeah.
And then did you go to New York for the basketball, or did you go to New York because you knew you wanted to be involved somehow in the media industry?
I chose New York. I mean, I was 18 years old, so I can't really say my decision making was the best. So I had choices between New York and California, like okay. very different yeah. places, you know, climate and everything.
Right.
But my opportunity to go to school was all about sports. And so I got my scholarship through soccer, and the college in New York and the college in California, they were both offering me the same exact amount mm-hmm. of scholarship. And so I really I really didn't have that to help make my decision. So I basically just thought, you know, New York sounds really fun, seems very diverse, which is, you know, very different from where I am in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to experience something really different. Yeah. And so I just chose New York. I really liked the soccer coach there. So that did help my decision. Although when I got there, he quit. That was awesome. But yeah, I just thought New York just sounded really fun and really exciting.
Well, yeah, I mean, and at 18, that was probably the best decision. Like, that's the best time in your life to move to New York if you're going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. It was scary, but it was very exciting. And loved it, yeah.
And I do want to interject, you were on the dean's list, right? You weren't just a student athlete, but you were really good at both of them. So that's why I want to make sure our listeners hear that too.
Right. Yes. It wasn't just all about sports. I will say it was a rough start for me because I started out playing soccer. I had no intentions of playing basketball, but you know, I'm 6 foot, you know, and athletic. And so basketball coach saw me and he's like, why are you playing soccer? And so I loved soccer and I didn't want to give that up. And so he talked me into playing both sports and being new to a state and new to a school and playing two sports and trying to keep your GPA up was really challenging. So it was actually really rough. I wasn't on the dean's list until, you know, the last 2 years I was there. So I got it together. That it was just that first semester. I was like, I may fail.
That's called freshman year.
Yeah. It was horrible. It was crazy. I'm like, okay, get it together, Sarah. You know how to do this. Just get out of bed, get to class. Yeah. So yeah. So that, you know, once we got past that point, it was, I really started to focus and knew that it was important to do the college academics as well as the sports. So
your body physically, like literally, quite literally, and also kind of in this other way, took you from Colorado to New York. Mm-hmm. And then, and it was your body then also that kind of made this career for you. And
exactly
that, I mean, it is, that's a really unique experience, I think.
Yeah. It was definitely unique. Yeah. Being noticed for just like your body. And it wasn't in a degrading way, but when you are so tall and you just stick out, you know, and it became something I used to my advantage, you know, for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So it worked out.
I remember reading at one point that you were taller than your mom early on, right?
Very early on.
So, so did you always have a healthy body image or was that something that came in later?
Mm-hmm. It definitely came in later. It's definitely been a process for me. I mean, I don't know necessarily if I would call it an unhealthy view of my body, but I was always very aware of my unique body image, you know, and the way people saw me. I was adopted. And so my mom, I don't think she ever made it to 5 feet tall. I think and she's shrinking, I think. So I would say right now she's like 4'10". But most of the time, I think growing up, she's around 4'11". And so I can't say for sure, but I would say sometime in elementary school, I definitely surpassed her. And started to grow way taller than her. So it was always something everyone else noticed and brought to our attention and something obviously that I always noticed as well.
Yeah. I remember one of your blog posts because your adopted parents are white and you're African American.
Exactly.
And I remember it made me cry and maybe I'll cry right now too. But just how
you know, in terms of this podcast too, this conversation, just how do you have kind of a healthy body image? I remember you saying, I used to want to know, like, who has my facial expressions, who has all of that? Mm-hmm. And so I think that was one of the other reasons I thought of you mm-hmm. for this podcast, because you've had to kind of forge a body image without yeah. having someone ahead of you to know what that looks like, right?
Oh my gosh, totally. It was a challenge for sure, because not only was I a minority in my own family, I was a minority in the places where we lived, you know, so it mm-hmm. was always, you know, small town. I was born in Texas, but I grew up in a small town in Massachusetts, where I was surrounded by a lot of love and family, but, it was still, we were still a unique family. And, you know, it was just something I became very used to, where people would, you know, stare and talk about it. You know, did you know Sarah's parents are white? And, you know, just from a young age in school, you just hear people talking about it. And like I say, not in a vicious way, but just a way of being curious. And so I was always, like I said, a minority in the places I lived. And so that always was something I had to just come to terms with and be my own person. And so I didn't have somebody to look at and say, okay, this is what I'm going to look like in 10 years. Or, you know, oh, my hair is the same as my mom's, or, you know, so I know mm-hmm. how to do my hair when I'm in high school, so I'm not like,
right,
you know, wearing two little pom-poms on my head, like that's the only thing my mom really knew how to do. So I'm like, I need to figure this out, you know, I need to figure out how to do this.
I
you
might know, be so. Able to understand a little bit.
I was just gonna say that was what you're saying after Leslie just had.
That is a hairstyle that my daughter wears pretty often.
Yeah, it's go to.
Yeah, yeah, no, and it's interesting you say that. When I, you know, I was late to this phone call because we were mm-hmm. shopping for an Easter dress with my daughter, mm-hmm. and you know, just such a simple outing, and there was yeah. a little girl in the store that. Like she and Sintayu were kind of running around together. And when I walked up and said, Santa, actually I knew I was late. So I'm like, Santa, we have to go. But the girl immediately looked at me and she's like, are you her babysitter? You know?
Oh, gosh.
And it yeah. was such, it's just those little subtle things that, yes. that you certainly yes. notice. And it is interesting then to think about, you mm-hmm. know, what did I draw from my mom who looks mm-hmm. exactly like me? I mean, we could be sisters, really. Mm-hmm. And then what do you, where do women in general just draw that body image from?
Right.
I yeah. would like to think that it's more from their moms or their mm-hmm. aunts than it is from the media that we consume. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's all of those things.
I know. I think it's a mixture of all of it. You know, even with me, I still did look up to certain people in my family, you know, and, you know, my sister and how she dressed and how she did her makeup and how she did her hair and things like that. And, but then, you know, you watch TV and you watch movies and you look at magazines and you also draw from that. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think it's bad, but there has to be a balance and there has to be like a realistic, there has to be some type of realistic image you're drawing from as well. Not just mm-hmm. things that you could never attain or you can never, you know, I mean, I probably had these images or ideals in my head that were never, ever going to be how I could look. But to me in my head, that was like, you know. That's what I was striving for, mm-hmm. You know, whether it was like pin straight hair or, you know, a thin body. That was just nothing. That was not what I was made to be. You know, I'm athletic build, I have kinky hair, you know, and that's just, I had to come to terms with that. And it took a long time for me to even get there. You know, I mean, after college.
I think we all have this process, right? And some of it's quicker than others about mm-hmm. when we come to terms on some level or another with our body. But mm-hmm. it's crazy because looking at the images of your modeling now, it just, mm-hmm. you embody just strength and power and like, I want to be you. And not necessarily, I mean, I wouldn't mind looking like you, but also just like the confidence. I think that, you know, when you think about what message am I sending, I think mm-hmm. about that all the time as a mom to a daughter, but mm-hmm. also for you to actually be modeling and knowing this is going to be consumed by people who right. don't know you. I think you embody really amazing things. Like, is that a conscious mm-hmm. thing you're thinking of when you're, you know, posing? Yeah. I've never, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the confidence part is definitely something that has grown over time. And funny enough, it's something that has probably come from the fashion industry and being in modeling these past years, you know, having people compliment you and having people say so many nice things about you and how beautiful you are, you know, that can only build you up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have to have a healthy cap on that and not let it get, you know, make your head huge. But realistically, it does help with your confidence. And so you take that and you take, you know, the things you've learned from people you love, like my mom and dad, who are very grounded people and very compassionate people. And you kind of mix those two. And I think you come out with a very healthy kind of confidence where you hope other people can feed off of that and say, oh, you know what? I might not be, you know, super thin or, you know, exactly what I'm seeing on this magazine, but I can still be confident and I can still be beautiful in my own skin and feel good about myself. And hopefully other people will feel that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Do you now, as a model, a working model, do you have a lot of say in what you're able to portray to others? Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that the right way yeah. to ask that question?
Yeah. Okay. You know, in the beginning, I would say I didn't have much say. And I don't know if that was because I was young and scared to speak up. Mm-hmm. you know, I think that actually had a lot to do with it. And that's my nature anyway, is kind of people pleaser. You know, I want to do what they want to do and make them happy. And so, oh, okay, you want me to wear that and you want me to wear it like that. Okay, sure. You know, that's right. Weird, but whatever. where's my paycheck, you know? So I don't know. I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten more of a voice as well. But in the beginning, it was hard to have that say and to speak up and have a choice of what to do and what not to do. And I think that's pretty common in that industry. Honestly, I was actually old for even starting out 18, 19.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there were girls that were 14, 15 that were starting out, you know. And so I can only imagine that they didn't, you know, they didn't feel like they had a voice either. And so, you know, as I got older, it became easier for me to speak up and say, I don't feel comfortable doing this. And, or I don't really think this looks right. But at a certain point, you know, every designer mm-hmm. has their own kind of way of doing things, and you have to respect the way they see things too. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a balance in there, and letting them, you know, portray their art on you, but also having respect for yourself.
So how did pregnancy affect your career then?
Oh, man. I don't want to say it ruined my career.
Oh, no. But
it certainly put a damper on things for a while. I actually was right at the, you know, I don't know. I was right at the point where I was taking it really seriously. I was taking modeling really seriously. I had a personal trainer and I was in the best shape of my life. I was done with school and really had decided that this is what I wanted to focus on and wanted to do and, you know, full time. And so I decided, no, I'm going to just get myself in the best shape I can and do this and start going on open calls and things like that. And then lo and behold, I'm pregnant. And so, so, you know, things, you know, were put on hold, for a while there. And, my life actually was really thrown upside down at that point. I had been married for about, 3 years at that point, to my college sweetheart. And so, this was something we were kind of like surprised by, but I was actually pretty happy about it. I'm like, I'll just put the modeling on hold and we'll just do this family thing for a while. Well, I found out my husband was unfaithful during that time. And so I ended up having to do the whole pregnancy on my own because we were getting a divorce at that time. So it was a rough go. Wow. I would say... The whole modeling thing was way, way, way in the back of my mind at that point. And now all I'm thinking about is, well, how am I going to raise this baby on my own and what am I going to do? And so, I actually moved back to Colorado from New York and just surrounded myself with family and friends and had my baby here. And it was a great decision for me and for my son, but for modeling, not the best decision for a career in modeling. But it was one of those things I just had to decide at that time. And in New York and on every corner, there is some opportunity for, you know, being a model or being in that industry in some way. In Colorado, there's literally two agencies that are somewhat reputable, you know, and they're and it's very competitive because there's only two. Mm-hmm. So it's just a lot different. It's a lot different. You have to know somebody to know somebody to know somebody that knows, you know. So it's a way different environment here. You know, having a baby kind of just put things in a different perspective for me where modeling wasn't necessarily the most important thing and family was. And so really it's never quite ended. You know, family's always first for me and modeling is just something that I do on the side still.
Sounds like you had a lot going on during this first pregnancy. And so I imagine you didn't have really the luxury of that time to kind of reflect on what was happening with your body. But would you say, how would you describe kind of the transformation of how you viewed your body while pregnant, or maybe not even pregnant with your first child, but then later pregnancies? Did it make you look at the way your body was being used differently? Or, you know, I mean, just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think used is a very good word for being pregnant because you just feel used. I mean, you feel like you just are somebody else's body for a while, you know, and I just had to embrace that because my first pregnancy, it was very different than my other two. And my first, you know, not only did I start out in the best shape of my life, which really helped bounce back, you know, afterward, but, you know, I was going through a lot, you know, depression and things like that. So I was not, like, you know, that big binge eater where, you know, like how I am now. So I was, you know, I just stayed at, you know, a normal weight and really didn't have much problem losing the weight afterward. And
So that compared to my second and third pregnancy are just night and day, because my second one, you know, I was real comfortable in life and in love, and everything was just great. And so I'm like, hey, I'm loving this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, send my husband out at 2 a.m. to get me a cheeseburger, and, you know, it just everything. I just indulged, you know. And so after that, I had a lot of work to do to get back to a weight where I felt okay. You know, I don't know if it was unhealthy to want to get back to a certain weight, like a certain number on the scale, but I knew for myself that I didn't want to just let myself go. And mm-hmm. I wanted to be healthy, not just for myself, but for my kids. And I didn't want to be huffing and puffing while I'm, you know, chasing after my kids. And I just wanted to feel good about myself mm-hmm. too. I didn't want to just be that mom where, you know, you don't really recognize yourself anymore when you look in the mirror. I still wanted to see the same me from before, and feel good about myself. And so, mm-hmm. you know, trying to get that positive mindset and that same body image back in my mind. It was hard after that second and third baby, but, you know, I got back to where I felt okay with myself. It definitely wasn't where I was after my first, but it was where I could feel comfortable with myself.
Yeah, and I think you just know how good you can feel when you're kind of at your ideal, you know? And yeah, there is something about just wanting, just craving that, like you said, mm-hmm. being in good shape and healthy, just because you know it feels good and you know it's right. going to make every day just a little bit better, you know? So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I think, too, especially when our bodies are on loan for so long, mm-hmm. when we're pregnant and nursing and things like that, mm-hmm. that there is just a, like, give it back to me. Now I'm going to go ahead and take it where I want to take it, you know?
Right.
And,
right.
And I think that's a good lesson. You know, I was thinking when you were talking about your first pregnancy, how it sounded like, you know, we talk a lot about the mama bear in all of us, that kind of moment that you switch mm-hmm. on and you're like, yeah. oh, I gotta be bigger and stronger mm-hmm. and badder than I've ever had to be. And yours really mm-hmm. switched on then, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, for anyone who knows you as well as Leslie and I do from our stalking.
This very intimate but, online relationship yeah. that we have
developed. No, but I can say, gosh, you, what a great example you are setting for your son to just say, you know, and that mm-hmm. you continue to do, that you continue to set by taking the time to, you know, get healthy after each pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because your last two pregnancies have come back to back, and now you're pregnant again. Yeah. You're actually, like, all three of them have gone back to back, but in between them, you still seek that health. And I think you're setting yeah. such a good example for your son who is old enough to, your mm-hmm. first son who's old enough to see all of that, but also yeah. all of us too, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not easy. I'm not the type of person who, I wrote a blog about this a little while ago. I'm not a very disciplined person necessarily, where I will, you know, get up early in the morning and go running. And no, I hate to run. I hate all of that. The only time I'm running is if, you know, somebody is like, if I had a coach that was screaming at me to sprint and, or if somebody's chasing me, or if I just like had to win a specific, you know, I'm very competitive, but I'm not going to just go out and run by myself. That's not me. So I had to find things that I enjoyed, but also got me into shape. So, you know, I would do indoor soccer with, you know, some friends in town, or I'm on a volleyball team with some close friends. So it's just really
my style more so than going to the gym. I just like to, I like to do sports, and that's just my thing. So, and I'm not the most disciplined eater either, but I know there, you know, everything in moderation, that's kind of my thing. So, I don't deprive myself of things, but I do, try and practice moderation and just keep active and just, you know, have fun with my kids and go outside and go to the park and ride our bikes and things like that. And so that kind of what has been work for me.
That is completely the opposite of what, what it's like for me. I love to run. Like, that is, and I don't do it that often. I try to go when it's, when the weather is nice, at least like 3 times a week or something. But I love to go by myself and to have my headphones in and just like, it's more, I mean, it's, I know it's good. I want to take care of my body, but it also, I usually do it right when my husband gets home from work, and it's just such like my happy, like, release time. And it's interesting to hear you talk about how, so I use my body in that way. Like, I know I'm getting, I'm keeping in shape, and I'm, but I'm also sort of like, it's a good mental place for me to be.
Right.
But what you are, sounds like describing is just, you know, your mode of exercise and your kind of taking care of your body and yourself, it sounds like has always involved a place within community. So some sort of team. Is that something that, do you, which comes first, do you think? Do you think that it's like your need for community and your desire for community that has prompted you to be an athlete or, you know, make a career of using your body, or do you think that was just a happy kind of byproduct of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the community thing has a lot to do with it for sure. I think that's what initially drew me to sports is, oh, my friends are doing it. You know, my mom is, you know, pushing me to maybe take piano lessons, but, you know, that's just a solo thing. Like, I want to be with my friends. I want to be part of something bigger. And so I think that's what initially drew me to sports, and then being able to excel at that and have fun at that, and then also be with my friends. I mean, that's just, that's awesome, you know? And so that's what kept me going, really, is the relationship part of it. And yeah, I think being able to get into shape that way and to start out modeling in that kind of athletic arena was just like icing on the cake. You know, that was just a perfect step in for me. So, you know, the things that have come from that, I think that's just been just part of the journey. Not everything has been like super fun or not all my style, but, you know, it's just been part of the journey. I think that's probably in any kind of career, you know, not everything is something you love to do every single day, but for the majority of it's good, you know, and it's kind of what you feel like you're talented in, you know? And so that's kind of, I feel like I'm talented in it. Like, a lot of the stuff I was doing wasn't just for magazines or anything like that. I was, you know, doing fashion shows and walking in 5-inch heels. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think everyone can do this.
Right. No.
You know? I feel like I'm talented in walking in these heels right now. I'm not falling flat on my face. Like, that is a talent.
Oh,
you know?
For sure.
You know, I feel like some people who, you know, can sing like amazing, and that's their talent, and they make a career out of it. You know, I happen to balance really well for my height on stilts, you know? So I feel like that was just kind of the path I was put into, and I felt like, okay, I can kind of excel in this, just like in sports. I'm just going to go with it. And that's what I did with modeling. I just went with it and just, you know, just saw where it took me.
Yeah. And as you were talking too, I was thinking about, you know, earlier you had said, when you were younger, sometimes you mm-hmm. didn't feel like you fit in, right? You were adopted mm-hmm. into with white parents, and also mm-hmm. you lived in this very white community,
mm-hmm.
and you were this tall young woman. And I was thinking about, because I'm more like you, even now, my fitness mm-hmm. is all about community. Like, if no one's going to be there to see that I did it, then I probably won't do it. You know? No one's going to hold me absolutely. Accountable. Probably I'll just sit on the couch.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But I was like you. I was like you in that I've always had a very athletic build. And so mm-hmm. I felt very self-conscious about it for mm-hmm. a time, because all of my friends before they went through puberty and got breasts and stuff were very thin. Mm-hmm. And I was always big calves, a little booty, yes. wide shoulders. And yeah. so sports too was something like, oh my gosh, I can use this different body
absolutely.
In a yeah. way that makes me really good. I was really good
mm-hmm.
because I was born that way, you know, because right. I had some natural giftedness. Mm-hmm. And so for you, I thought, you know, I bet too, part of it was just that, oh, this thing that makes me feel a little self-conscious everywhere else mm-hmm. makes me feel like a badass here.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, growing up being always the tallest, not just the tallest girl, tallest, mm-hmm. you know, out of mm-hmm. the boys and the girls, at least a head above everyone, you know, and that's not always easy. And so when I got into the modeling world, everybody's tall. Everybody mm-hmm. is at least 5'10", you know. If you're 5'10", that's kind of short, you know. And, wow. and so for me, I'm like, that is amazing. I feel good. I feel like I fit in mm-hmm. a way. Everybody's kind of this unique looking person. And yeah, it felt really good just to fit in for once and not have to feel like, maybe I shouldn't, you know, stand so tall, or maybe I should, you know, not wear these heels, or yeah, no, everybody's rocking heels. Everybody's 6 foot, you know, it was just a really fun time for me to just not have to think about that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it's interesting, too, that you went to college to study communications and that mm-hmm. you're a writer. And mm-hmm. I wonder, how do you feel that you can communicate as a model? Or, you know, like, I'm very much, I believe that, you know, the designs you are wearing are an art form, just like the words mm-hmm. that you write are an art form. So how can a model speak to whoever might be looking at them as sort of an artist and communicator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of goes back to, you know, feeling like you are talented in what you're doing. And I feel like I am a good canvas. And I think that has been something that designers have liked about my body. And it's just kind of the way I was made. You know, I feel like, you know, being in that industry, there's a lot of people that are, I don't know, a little bit cynical about just the little things. And I think that's one of the positive things for me to be here in Colorado. It's not so cynical as it was in New York. It's more mm-hmm. Accepting in a broader way. And so I don't feel that pressure as much to be like a size 0, size 2. I mean, that's never going to happen, never has happened. So, you know, I feel like more accepted here. And so I feel like I'm it's easier for me to be that canvas for somebody, like, yeah, you know, if your dress fits me, I'm so proud and I'm so happy to wear that down the runway. Absolutely. If it doesn't fit me, I'm sure you can find another model. You know, like, I'm not, I just feel like there's not the time. I don't have that kind of time to just be, you know, worried about fitting into all the clothes like I was, you know, in New York, where it's very, very, it's high pressure to be a size 2, size 4. You know, when I first started, I was a size 4-6, and that was really pushing it. That was borderline, you know, plus size.
Wow.
And so, oh yeah. So
So, you know, I think I found my niche here where I'm mainly doing a lot of wedding and bridal fashion. And that is a lot more, you know, accepting of different sizes. And so, you know, after three kids, it's, you know, not a size four for me. You know, I'm trying to make this dress look beautiful. Mm-hmm. And right now I feel like that's what I'm doing for them. And it is an art form. I love these dresses I'm wearing. I feel like a princess in them. You know, it's like you're a different person for a day when you're wearing these. And so hopefully that's kind of what I'm portraying, you know, not only for the designer of the dress, but for people who have come to the show to see these dresses, that they see, you know, that I am displaying this dress and I'm not just showing off myself. Mm. I want them to see the dress and that it's beautiful on somebody real, you know. So that's kind of how I try and look at it every time I go out there.
I like hearing you just use the word beauty and kind of embracing what's beautiful about yourself mm-hmm. and about the designers that you work with. Mm-hmm. I think as a mom or an aunt or, you know, even, you know, we all hire babysitters, young women to mm-hmm. come into our homes a lot of the time. I always feel like I don't want to put too much emphasis on, you know, you're so beautiful, you look beautiful. And yet at the same time, there is so much beauty in mm-hmm. our femininity.
Exactly.
And so it's just sort of an interesting line to walk, I think. Mm-hmm. I want my daughter to feel beautiful. I want the neighbor girl and boy to feel really beautiful and good about mm-hmm. themselves, but in kind of that really authentic way and not the way that maybe they feel the pressure of society that they have to feel or have to be.
Exactly. Yeah, there has to be a balance for sure. And like it kind of for me, it goes back to how I said, you know, some people are really talented in singing and some people are really talented in acting or painting or whatever that talent is. That's them. But for me, in certain parts of my life, my talent was posing or walking or, you know, doing these things for these designers. And, you know, I would want someone to feel beautiful for the way they are on the inside, but also their talent. And, mm-hmm. and that might not be looking like somebody on the front cover of Vogue or Sports Illustrated. Like that's a specific small, you know, portion of the world that can do that. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. for some reason we have girls that look at that and say, that's how everybody should be. That's how I should be. That's how my friends should be. That's how we all should look. That's not realistic, you know, and I think there has to be some type of balance of what we call beauty or what we define beauty as. And I have boys, but I really hope if this next one is a girl, fingers crossed, if Jesus loves me at all, if this next one's a girl, I want to be able to share that with her, that beauty is so many different things, you know, so many different things. I want you to feel beautiful, yes, when you look in the mirror, but that might not look like what the magazine is saying or looking like, or the front page of whatever, the front cover of whatever magazine. That might not be beauty for you. You know, mm-hmm. your beauty might be in something else. So I can only imagine how hard it is to raise a girl, but I hope that will be something I can do and showing her a full picture of that.
Yeah, I love that. The full picture of what mm-hmm. beauty is.
Right.
That's great. So, Sarah, this next question is kind of a bigger one, but I think it would be really interesting to hear how you feel that sort of the physical life and the spiritual life connect in your world.
You know, again, that's probably something that's been quite a journey for me. But at this point in my life, they're very connected, especially when the physical part has changed so much because of having children. To me, having children has been a very spiritual experience for me and has changed me for the better in every way. But so I kind of see the two as, you know, the physical part has to be balanced out by the spiritual part. So I try and balance myself of really knowing what matters in life and what's really important. And for me, as I've gotten older, the physical hasn't been as important to me as it was in the beginning of all of this. And the spiritual kind of has not taken over, but it's become more important to me. And so that connecting those two has been really eye-opening for me, that it's not all about what size you are, what the number on the scale is, or, you know, what genes you fit into this month. It's really, how do you feel overall as a person, spiritually? Yes. But also, do you feel healthy? You know, that's more of the question I would ask myself, not do I feel skinny enough or whatever. Do I feel healthy? Do I feel happy? Do I feel connected to my family, to God, you know, to those around me? The relationships I formed, my close friends, are those intact? You know, that's the type of thing that I think of now. And I think that lies more on the spiritual side than on the more superficial side of the physical, you know, physical side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just a maturity thing where you just start to realize what's really important in life. And I think I'll always start, you know, I'll always be learning that. I still am learning that, like, mm-hmm. celebrities that I thought were just amazing last year, I'm just kind of like, you know, I don't think they're that great, because, you know, all they do is post selfies about themselves, you know, on Instagram. And, you know, I'm like, okay, there has to be more to life than this, you know. I don't know. It's just, I don't judge anyone, that's for sure, because I have done my fair share of selfies. But yeah. I just feel like as I get older, I know there's more to life than just that kind of stuff.
It's so true. And it's hard. I mean, we have talked before about the journey, and sometimes mm-hmm. it's really hard when you're, say, a mile down the road to mm-hmm. embrace and love and be patient with the people a half a mile down the road.
Right.
You know? But I think there, you know, maturity does, it has so much to do with it. That's why I would love if every model had to be over 25. Yeah. Like, you cannot yes. model kids clothes. No,
yes.
Everybody models after 25, because then, that. You know, then maybe they would get what you're saying, though, is just like, hey, I can be a blank canvas for you, but I'm also me, you know, I could be exactly. what you want me to be, but I also am a person yeah. and I want to put out this specific kind of energy into the world, which I think your pictures do in such a great way. And so, I mean, I think if anybody's listening, that's what's going to happen, is just mm-hmm. over 25. That's
our cutoff. That's the cutoff.
Right. And we probably should include then editors and everyone yeah, else. That's
absolutely. That's a good point.
Involved yeah. in that process.
Yes. Yes. Must be older than the
yeah,
model.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about being over 25, and, you know, you go yeah. through, we talked about developing and adolescence mm-hmm. and what that mm-hmm. feels like, and then finding, I think just the strength that you found in young adulthood mm-hmm. is really remarkable. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, birthing children and witnessing kind of the first wrinkles. And, you know, what is your plan for aging gracefully, Sarah?
Please tell us.
Yes, what's the plan?
Well, you know. Now, there's a saying that a lot of people say to me, and I don't know if it's true, but they say that black don't crack. And I'm really relying on that. I mean, I have no backup plan. I don't know what else I do because I have not started to crack yet. But when I do, I'm going to call people liars because I don't know. I have no plan. I really don't. I want to be graceful with it. Again, it's probably a maturity thing because if you asked me this 5 years ago, I probably would have said, you know, yes, I'm going to get a boob job after my last baby. I need a boob lift and, you know, all of these things, a tummy tuck, whatever it takes to get me back to where I was. Like, but now I'm like, you know, what's the point? You know, it's all going to start sagging at some point. I don't want to have to do upkeep every 5-10 years and go back in, get things done again. Like, I do want to be graceful about it. I want to be a good example to my kids and show them what it is like to grow old gracefully. And I think a huge part of that, and I need to be better at that and more disciplined, is being active, you know. When I can't be on these, you know, volleyball, soccer teams, I am going to have to take it upon myself to maybe go to the gym or do some working out on my own. But I think the healthier I can be and the more active I can be, I think that will make growing older a lot easier on everyone. You know, I don't want to be that person where my kids are, you know, having to take care of me when I'm 70, you know, I want to be on the go. I want to be on my own, you know, I want to be able to do things on my own, you know, till very late age. And so that's motivation for me, is just to stay active and, just stay happy and laugh a lot and, you know, be around friends a lot. And I think that really keeps you young at heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wrinkles, they'll come, I'm sure, but, I'm not worried about that right now.
Which I'm so jealous about, because it turns out white does crack at about, like, 28.
Yeah, I was going to say early. It cracks early. What's your plan, Tessie?
Well, I was actually just thinking about that today because I discovered a white eyebrow. I'm like, in the world is a white eyebrow doing, growing straight out? It's at it's a horizontal freaking eyebrow, and I don't understand it. And I thought about that. That's very relevant. But it's funny because I'm like a natural holistic person, but it is weird that something about aging where you're just like, I guess Botox is
fine. Yes.
But you know, I mean, it's weird how it goes there. I'm not going to, I'm not choosing that. But I see why people do.
Absolutely.
And I don't fault them for it because I still approach the mirror assuming I look like I feel, which is about 15 to 20 years old.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what happened? I don't understand when this, all this happened. So I get wanting to preserve that, but I'm with you. I'm just trying to take it every day. I wake up and I'm like, be graceful about it, whatever that looks like, you know,
whatever that looks like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just take it as it is, one day at a time.
Yeah. Leslie, what about you? Do you have a plan?
Well, it's so, you know, I haven't really thought about it, but I did for the longest time. This is probably really strange, but like I had like cut out a picture of Blythe Danner.
I remember from a magazine.
And I was like, I want to be Blythe Danner. Like, I want to age like Blythe Danner is aging. Like, she's my older woman role model.
That's awesome.
And I don't know. But I was also thinking, I interviewed a while back for a yoga publication, this pair of women who were in their late 50s, and they call themselves the Tai Chi ladies. Mm-hmm. And what I loved so much about this pair is that basically, same thing. Like, they were just trying to figure out how to maintain their bodies as they aged, and they found they discovered Tai Chi. They both loved it, but then they made it this like community, really fun thing that they did together. And now, this was a couple years back, but at the time, at least, and they probably are still doing it, they were, you know, hosting Tai Chi classes on like the patio of restaurants. So it became this really
fun.
And, you know, Sarah, you talked about just like laughing every day as one of the keys to aging gracefully. And from where I stood, I felt like these Tai Chi ladies kind of were onto something of just aging in a way that, you know, they were taking care of themselves, but also having a really great time.
Exactly.
And just being really alive, right? Like, they just were, they just seemed so full of joy and energy. Yeah. And so.
Exactly. Yep. I love that. Love that.
It's what I tell every person I train. Find something you love. It's not going to be what I love, and it's not going to be what your friend loves, but find something you love. You will find a community who also loves it, and then that's sustainable. Then you have no problems waking up and doing it every day because you love doing it and you love the people around you.
That's such a good point. Yeah.
So would you say we talk about the mother self and the other self? And you've talked about some of the things that nurture your kind of other self, working out, like the volleyball, soccer, the community of women you've surrounded yourself with. Is there anything else that kind of nurtures that other self?
I do like a little pampering. I like to be able to, you know, feel like, you know, not every day is a day of wiping butts. You know, I want to be like, I want to look at my nails and be like, those are beautiful manicured nails. Not, oh my gosh, what's under my nail? Is that poop or is it chocolate? Like, I want to know that I'm still a lady sometimes. And so, you know, I take those little breaks. My husband's great trying to, you know, he'll come home and say, all right, you can go, like, go get a manicure, or, you know, go to Starbucks and, you know, read a book. And, you know, I love to read. And so, you know, there's just things that I still try and do that just give me a little bit of a breather and a little bit of a reminder, you know, that I'm still me. I'm still just my.
That is so good. And it's so right on, like you said, why that makes it even more important to do those little things that prove that you are actually a person. Because I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that too, not just the little children.
Exactly.
But sometimes, I mean, I remember that when they were all little like that, where you're just like, am I just an extension of them? Am I actually a person?
Or am I a person? It's not even really reminding yourself of who you used to be. It's just reminding yourself that you are a human being and you're not just mom. You know, like that is, that is just, that's my, you know, goal of getting out and getting some things done on my own. It's just, you know, kind of re-energizing and getting things back into perspective for me.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sarah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was great talking. Thanks.
Okay, Mama Bears, today we dare you to embrace the body you are in. This is going to take some work and some reflection, but it's totally possible. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can't want to get healthier or stronger. It simply means recognize all the life experiences that got you to where you are currently at. Spend a few minutes witnessing the beauty that brought you the loose skin around your belly, maybe birthing a few children or cooking and eating delicious meals with friends and family. Talking to you, guacamole. embrace the wrinkles in your face, knowing they got there because you love enough people in your life
to worry you from time to time with their happiness. Mama Bear, even if we don't know you, we know you to be beautiful because you and I were cut from the same cloth, and today I'm acknowledging that it is truly beautiful.
Absolutely. We are so honored, as I said before, about the support that we've been receiving on our social media outlets. So please remember to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. This is really helpful for us. We know it sort of seems intimidating, but it actually takes less than a minute, and it does help us reach the people who can benefit from hearing from our guests and people like Sarah. So find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as the Mama Bear Dares podcast. We often ask questions of our community that we are wanting to include in our Mama Bear minis, and your comments will help us shape future episodes. And also, we love to read your direct quotes in our episodes. So please join our community. Finally, you can email us at mamabeardares@gmail.com with any mama bears that you think need to be on this podcast. We've received some really great ideas and recommendations, and we can't wait to meet a few more of you. So thanks, Mama Bears, for listening. Have a great day.
Have a great day.